The Fed accelerated its taper. And today's show, you'll learn why market chaos is coming. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as we catch up with the Fed, who, as expected, accelerated the taper of their balance sheet. But what we didn't expect was why Powell made the decision he did. Is he trying to protect the markets? Well, let's take a look. Let's pick up this story where we hit this headline from Zero Hedge, where Morgan Stanley warns the Fed's turbo taper will trigger market chaos over the next 3 to 4 months. And sure enough, you'll see exactly why that's right. And while Morgan Stanley doubled down on his bearish view this morning when Michael Wilson's latest strategy outlook piece, he warned the Fed's pivot to a more aggressive tapering schedule poses a larger risk for asset prices than most investors believe. And this is exactly what we've been talking about on the show, is how a taper is not good for the markets. But investors just don't believe it. You know, that is why the markets reacted the way they did today. But we're going to break this down, so let's keep going. Confirming what we have been saying since 2010, when we first explained that it's not the stock, but the flows that matter and the tapering is tightening, Wilson echoes in our decade-old conclusion and writes a quote, "Tapering is tightening for markets, if not the economy, and in fact, it is indeed for both. And due to much greater than expected rise in inflation, now that even Powell has killed and buried Team Transitory, the Fed is pivoting to a more aggressive removal of monetary accommodation." And sure enough, according to Morgan Stanley, the strategist believes that tapering is different in 2014 for three reasons. The Fed is exiting QE twice as fast, asset prices are much richer today, and growth is decelerating. In fact, all of those issues we've made a point of on this show. All right, let's pick up now where the Fed has its FOMC press conference today. And sure enough, they double the taper, signaling 3 2022 hikes. Here with the Bloomberg headline on an inflation pivot. The flags of Omicron variant as risk to the economic outlook and supply imbalances reopening contributed to elevated inflation. Federal Reserve officials intensified their battle against the hottest inflation in a generation by shifting to an earlier end of their asset buying program and signaling they favor raising interest rates in 2022 at a faster pace than economists were expecting. And this is one of the things that markets don't like. And so part of, you know, building into this and seeing how chaos begins is you have to understand what the Federal Reserve is doing and why they're doing it. They're reacting to inflation. Now, this is one of their primary goals, is to deal with inflation. As we've discussed on this show, the Fed is well prepared to deal with monetary inflation from a money supply standpoint. They're not well equipped to deal with supply chain inflation or other types of inflation. But what they have to do is follow the numbers from the government and react accordingly. And well, that doesn't always work out for them. So let's keep rolling with this. And here we see heralding one of the most hawkish policy pivots in years. The central bank said Wednesday it would double the pace of just scaling back purchase of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities to $30 billion a month here, according to the Wall Street Journal, putting it on track to conclude the program in early 2022 rather than mid-year as initially planned. Projections published alongside the statement showed officials expect 3/4-point increases in the benchmark federal funds rate will be appropriate next year, according to the median estimate, after holding borrowing costs near zero since March 2020. Now, I think it's highly unlikely that the Fed will get maybe one, if they're even lucky enough to get that, let alone any more than that, of those rate hikes. But what we did learn in the press conference today is Powell said there will be no rate hikes until the balance sheet taper is completed. At the moment, that is expected to be mid-March of next year. Of course, before all of that happens, we'll have Dr. Lacey Hunt back on sometime then to get his update on what he sees is coming. But let's keep going with what happened today. The Fed talked about their employment goal. And this is a big issue because the Fed's job is to seek maximum employment. And on interest rates, quote, "With inflation having exceeded 2% for some time, the committee expects it will be appropriate to maintain this target range until the labor market conditions have reached levels consistent with the committee's assessment for maximum employment." Now, in the press conference, Powell was challenged on what does this maximum employment mean? Well, he cited three things. Let's take a look at them. First one was the unemployment rate, and it's sitting at 4.2% and headed lower. They want to see it under 4, and at the rate things are going, Well, the Fed's going to get that pretty soon. He said the Fed is also looking at the number of job openings. Well, they're around 11 million, according to the government data. So that checks another box for doing more tightening or accelerating the taper, whichever way you want to look at this. And the one thing that perhaps is keeping, you know, one foot out of this pool for the Fed is a labor force participation rate, which remains below. Of course, the Fed believes that as wages increase with all these job openings, that more and more people are likely to return to the labor market. Well, we'll just say this, the Fed is hoping that will happen. Now, so what happened in the markets today as a result of this? Because this is, you know, the initial reaction in the markets isn't necessarily what happens over the next several months, or perhaps maybe even worse, next couple years for the equity market. And what is the broad belief that investors have today? The stocks are going up. We're at the early stages of, you know, a decade-long bull market, and this thing's only going higher. But why do we see a reaction to the bond market and the equity market that we did today? Well, we have to go dig into the details of the Fed report. And here we see the economic projections of the Federal Reserve Board members and Federal Reserve Bank presidents under their individual assumptions of projected appropriate monetary policy as of December 2021. Now, I do want to keep in mind and want you to keep in mind that the Fed's projections are just projections. They're largely worthless. They generally do not come to fruition, but people believe them. And that is the key part, is the psychology of what people believe and then what actually happens. That is the story of where the chaos comes from. Let's keep going, because here you can see the Fed sees in 2022, the change in real GDP is going to be 4%. They're projecting 5.5% growth this year, 4% growth next year. And the reason they're a little bit nervous is they're seeing the growth slowing down. They see the unemployment rate, there you go, below 4. Next year, 3.5% hits their target. They see inflation cooling off and staying above their 2% target. And that is what the issue is. The market reacted to this 4% growth as if the Fed has some magic crystal ball that they're looking at and saying, hey, we're pretty sure this is going to happen, and so we're going to adjust accordingly. But it doesn't actually work that way. And so one of the challenges that investors miss out on is what happens when a taper actually occurs. And we have two excellent examples of that. We have the end of quantitative easing 3, when the Fed tapered their balance sheet. This goes back to November 2014. And then we can fast forward to November of 2017, when the Fed reduced its balance sheet again. And so let's take a look at what happened to the equity markets and the bond markets during those times. And I think you'll start to understand where that Morgan Stanley analyst was coming from and why I've been cautioning everyone that, hey, this market is really risky and perhaps taper is not good for it. Let's take a look here. Here's a chart looking at the S&P 500. We're using the ETF symbol SPY. And coming out of November, markets were really bullish. And then they went nowhere for over a year. They were flat, just full of volatility and went nowhere. Let's fast forward to 2017. The Fed announces a balance sheet taper. Everyone thinks that's growth. Remember, the equity market buys into that growth narrative, rallies, everyone gets really excited, comes crashing down, and for effectively 2 years, goes nowhere. No returns for each case. We saw both tapers lead to equity returns being flat for over a year, upwards of 2 years, no return in the equity market. How about the bond market? Well, similar story today. Everyone's, look, the bond market sold off. Well, did that back when November of 14, taper announcement, bonds sell off a little bit and then go up a whole lot. And what happens again in 2017? Now, you got to remember in 2017, there's a little bit of a different story here, because under the Trump administration, there was this belief that presidents can somehow create inflation. I hope you still don't believe that, because presidents cannot create inflation. So when we see, there's two things I want to see, is there was the initial reaction and then what happens afterwards. And the key is what happens afterwards. In fact, we can go back to that other chart here of what happened after 2014 and what happened. Bond prices, you know, they came down after the big rally and then went up again. So what do we see? Financial conditions tighten. And what did the bond market tell you is that, hey, growth and inflation expectations were going to go down. And now let's look at what happens. We get the November 2017 announcement in somewhere in here. The bond market goes up a little bit, sells down, and then goes on a mega rally as growth and inflation expectations go away. And that indeed is the story, because you look at the consumer price index and what happened in late 2014, it was actually decelerating. And then you look at 2017, they finally kind of timed this one right. Inflation was continuing to rise and then it slowed down. And so what happens each time, that balance sheet taper actually did what it needed to do. It got rid of inflation. And only after 2017, it only slowed it until the pandemic came along. But how about the actual consumer? You know, where were they at? Because it paints a really different picture to this story. And you look at late 2014, real disposable income, so this is inflation adjusted income, was running around 5%. In fact, even late 2017 is right now, say, around in the fours. So the consumer could absorb those higher prices a bit. It could deal with the tapering. But the equity market, see, the key is, you know, we talk about this financial issue of the equity markets not being able to handle it. And I want you to start to understand what Fed Chair Powell was saying is, look, I don't believe in this inflation story, but I got to go with it because, well, it's probably what President Biden had an issue with. It's what we know Congress has an issue with. We know Wall Street has an issue with, and media has an issue with, and he has to pander to all of them. He has to give in to them. But he's worried about a reaction to the market. He knows exactly what happens when the Fed tapers its balance sheet. He's no fool to that. But the consumer this time is not in a position to deal with the taper. And that's, again, where we see the slower growth coming from. And again, look at where we're at now. The consumer is seeing negative real disposable personal income because wages aren't keeping up fast enough with it. And that's the problem for the equity market is we see now the Fed is playing toward the market and saying, hey, if you're concerned, well, you should be. I guess I'm really concerned about this. And if you're concerned about how your portfolio might react to this, well, take a look at Portfolio Shield. I guarantee you won't regret doing that. And there's some other ways we can look at the economy slowing. And how about this from USA Today, the child tax credit, the last one arrives today, but don't count on one coming next year because the odds are it's not. And one final blast of cash set to arrive Wednesday for roughly 36 million families, including about 1 million families in Michigan who are eligible for the advanced payment for the child tax credit. But what happens in January? Well, the money will stop unless Congress passes President Joe Biden's Build Back Better social spending and climate package, the economic package stalled in the Senate. And my friends, it's not likely to pass this year. So there's going to be no extra check. And we know that what are people doing? They're taking some of this money and they're buying stocks with it because they don't need it. And that's been helping. And that's the last of the fiscal stimulus is today, at least for now. Now, maybe it comes back next year, but odds are it's probably going away, particularly with this inflation story. A lot of people in Congress are worried about it. They're worried about inflation because what happens to their job when they come up for election during high inflation? Yeah, they tend to lose it. And is this inflation story going away just because the Fed's going to taper a little bit? Well, it's not. Let's take a look at retail sales that came in today. Slow with holiday shoppers, according to the Wall Street Journal, that are facing inflation and shortages with November spending outpacing price gains from the year earlier, but cooled from October. Sales at U.S. retail stores, online sellers, and restaurants rose by a seasonally adjusted 0.3%. That's not, now normally it's a decent number, but right now it's not much. In November from the previous month, the Commerce Department said on Wednesday, that was smaller than last month, increase in consumer prices and the slowdown from October's, get this, 1.8% sales increase. So you can see a big drop off. And you know, one thing we've talked about in the show is that fiscal cliff that's coming where all this government transfer goes away, savings get drained down to normal or below normal levels. and people cut their spending. Of course, we see that in that real disposable personal income data. Let's keep looking at this, because here we see advanced retail trade on a year-over-year basis is rising. But my friends, this is going to roll over pretty quick when we start to see some of those base effects from the year-ago numbers start to work themselves out. Since retail sales figures aren't adjusted for inflation, now this is real important to understand. Retail sales come in as nominal. Nominal meaning not inflation adjusted. When you hear the term real, so if you're looking at the economic data and see, you know, just a number, that means it's nominal. That is just what it is. When you see real in front of it, it means inflation adjusted. So this is not inflation adjusted numbers at all. What we see is that higher prices contribute to some of the growth. So that is a factor here. You could actually see people spending less money, but due to higher prices, see retail sales rise. But other factors like a persistent savings glut for many consumers since the worst of the pandemic are also fueling growth, but that's going away too. And that can contribute to a combined cycle of rising prices, given that companies feel confident that consumers will be willing to pay more. And here you can see they are, because the story, you know, consumers see the headlines. U.S. producer prices climbed sharply in November. Prices that suppliers charge businesses other customers jumped 9.6% last month from a year ago, the most on record. The Labor Department said on Tuesday that its producer price index rose 9.6% in November from a year earlier, the most on record since 2010. The so-called core PPI, which excludes often volatile food and energy components, climbs a whopping 7.7% from a year ago, also the highest on record. So the higher than expected producer price number suggests that consumer inflation, which hit nearly a four-decade high of 6.8% last month, will stay elevated into 2022 as price pressures persist. Now, we can see here in this chart that the PPI final demand and PPI final demand less food and energy, which is the core, are rising rapidly. But remember, there isn't a direct relationship between the PPI and the CPI. There's this, you know, belief that, hey, producer prices go up, they must filter down to consumer prices. It doesn't always work that way, because if producers can't pass those higher prices on, well, then it doesn't work. And that's one of the issues here. But we do know that producers are having higher input prices, and they're going to attempt to pass those prices on. That is going to happen, and there's going to be other factors that hit the consumer as well, such as surging fertilizer costs push farmers to shift planting plans, raise prices, as higher prices for commodities like corn would further inflate cereal prices, cooking oil, beef, and other meat. Fertilizer prices have more than doubled over the past year, frustrating U.S. farmers who are now adjusting spring planting plans and worrying about the potential for higher food prices. And even the issue at harbors isn't going away. According to Bloomberg, U.S. harbor truckers say the West Coast port congestion is worsening. And here you can see the issue is restrictions on empty container returns. Schrapp said trucks need a chassis to collect import-laden containers, but unless they bring an empty container. So again, you know, you got to bring an empty one to free up the chassis. They're unable to move the import, he said. Los Angeles is also not operating fully around the clock, further undermining efforts. And so the supply chain issue isn't going away. We see food prices likely to rise. We know that rent prices are rising, and the Fed playing behind the curve, because all they care about is not breaking the markets. But is that Fed put going away? We'll probably talk about that on an upcoming show for sure. And with that, we will wrap up today. I appreciate all of you being fans. Appreciate all of you watching the show and your support. And with that, we'll be back on Friday. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shows not to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by or selling security, financial instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meer in personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.